everybody. Welcome to the Daniel A. Nelson Podcast Show. This is the place where we play and talk about the music you love. Today, we're going to do something a little different. Actually, we might talk about some music that's relating to rejection. Not only in the music industry, but just in life in general. So I am happy and blessed to have my son, DeMonte Rapp. He's going to join me today on this wonderful podcast. Say hello to my audience.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
All right. Look, the first question I want to ask you is this. You've been in the music business pretty much all your life, am I right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. When did you start playing an instrument?
I started playing in the fourth grade. I started playing piano. There was an old lady named Miss Dangerfield that ironically was right down the street from the church I ended up being a part of, right on, what is that, 82nd in between Broadway and Main. And so I started there. That's back when piano lessons were $5 for 30 minutes.
$5, 30 minutes, all right. Now, as you progressed in your musical journey, what was your first rejection outing? I mean, you know, as far as something you're trying to maybe get a gig or just trying to be accepted.
You know what? The first one that I'll never forget, I remember I was playing the organ at a Bible study and the minister of music wasn't there that week and I was just kind of learning how to play. I was probably about 16, 17, somewhere around that age, but I had just started back playing piano. And I'm on the organ and the pastor says, he looks over at me. Usually he doesn't, you know, it's Bible study, so we're not doing anything, you know, we're not singing. I'm just kind of practicing while he's teaching, but he gets excited and I'm on the organ and I gotta kind of back this guy up. And he's like, he looks over, he says, I wish I had a real journeyman on the organ. Yeah, that was and I just kept playing, you know. Everybody in the audience is looking because he's tuning up, he's getting excited, and you know, I'm sucking my thumbs over there, yeah. You know, so to speak. So that was definitely the first one.
Was it because of a certain key he was, you know, speaking in, preaching in?
He was an A.
Ooh.
He was an A, but I just, like I said, I was probably 16 or 17, so
yeah.
I didn't start back playing piano until the 11th grade. You know, I played saxophone from middle school all the way to the 11th grade, but I kind of played piano once I got in church, and I didn't really get in church for real until about the 9th grade. That's when I got into black church.
Okay.
As a musician.
Right, okay, predominantly black church. Okay, now, thing is, the reason why I wanted to talk about rejection, because I have known a lot of people that have been rejected, especially in this music industry, and I want to encourage people, because there's always going to be about 100 no's, or maybe even more. But what drove you to want to keep going?
After that, I didn't want to hear that again. I didn't want to hear, I wish I had a journeyman on the organ. So by the time I came back, he wasn't going to get the chance to tell me that twice.
Right. Okay.
So I took that and I just went and practiced even harder.
Yeah, that's good. Because, you know, in this life, I know we always going to face rejection.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what we go through. As a matter of fact, we really want to be loved. And if we say we don't want some type of praise, we're lying or we're not being truthful with ourselves. I think every man, every woman desire just a little bit of like, wow, you know, you guys sound good or you're doing a great job, that type
especially
of thing.
Especially as a musician.
Right.
Because musicians, they won't admit it, but musicians are sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, be it to harsh words or just the ability to connect emotionally.
So how would you encourage someone to kind of step up their game? Because let me just say this real quick before you answer that question. Because I know I have been rejected in the situation, and it was also a church situation. I had thought I've learned the songs to the best of my ability, and then on that last day of rehearsal, they said, that's okay. I don't need your service. They gave me a little token of love, but it's like, wow, I made like 4 rehearsals. And then they came to the conclusion, like, you're not needed in this situation. And I was really taken back by it. Now, granted, there are so many great musicians that's probably been in this situation.
Yeah.
But what made you grow?
You know, that's a great question. That's a great question. I think it was, if I could narrow it down to anything, I think it was my desire, my love for it, one, because I really love what I do. I loved it, and at that point in time, I wasn't necessarily doing it for any type of reaction, necessarily. I was ignorant and just kind of green, not really exposed to a whole lot. It was the love for it and the probably God, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have you know too much of anything else to attribute it to, but I love what I did, and I wasn't gonna let that you know that discouragement stop me. And yeah, you weren't gonna get a chance to tell me that again.
Yeah.
My thing is, I'm not gonna make the same mistake twice.
Right. You know, the Whiners have this song out, and I know it's pertaining to the love of Christ, but it's how good it feels to be loved.
Mm.
You know, it's how good, how wonderful it is to be loved. I mean, it's a nice ballad. The words are really heavy, and it's, of course, it's talking about Jesus. But as a matter of fact, speaking of Jesus, he was rejected.
Right.
And I know some people says, well, you got to be persistent. You got to be persistent. Does it depend on the situation? Because when Jesus was rejected, he says, well, he told his disciples, when you're rejected, dust your feet off and go on down the road. And because somebody's going to love you. As a matter of fact, it's been said, I ain't counting everybody, but it's been said there's over 6 billion people on this earth. So I know 100 million might like what you're doing. Is that what keep you going?
You know, I don't know if I would put it in those words, but I think if that's, you know, that might be what kind of keeps, you know, some people going. I think it's really the enjoyment that I get out of what I do, you know, and it's not as much about being received at that at that point. It's more so about doing what I am called to do, what I enjoy doing, no matter what the response. Because you brought up Jesus, he came into Jerusalem, people were saying crucify, they were saying Hosanna in the highest, and then a couple weeks later they were saying crucify.
Right.
So while there might be a, you know, 100 million people that like me, shoot, those same 100 million might decide, you know what, this stuff is trash. You see it with athletes all the time when they burn their jerseys. And it can't be for you being received. I think once you really become solid in what you're doing and you believe in it enough, then that becomes enough. And then people are attracted to confidence. So even if they don't, you know, if they don't like me,
yeah,
they see this guy some ways. Like if you see a bunch of people going down the one way and you start going the other direction, if you walk with enough confidence, they're going to question themselves and think, maybe I should go this way. And you don't care whether they go or not. You're not saying, hey, follow me, come this way. You're just, you know, focused on whatever you're doing, and you just full steam ahead.
I like what you just said, because I did a podcast earlier this week about some of the music that I write. And granted, I might be stuck in the 90s, my sound or whatever, but I'm blessed to play at a wonderful church, and then I'm blessed to play with 2 wonderful bands.
Yeah,
and then
he's gigging every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sometimes Monday, but for sure, at least 4 days out the week.
And then, you know, we have our family band. We haven't been doing much, the Twice the Action band, and I'm grateful for all these things, but a lot of stuff I have to learn because, you know, kind of appease people. But I said on my podcast that I get a chance when I'm writing music to express the way I feel,
yeah,
my gift, and you know I don't mind presenting it to the world. Is it safe to say, or would you encourage someone as far as like, hey, this is your sound, stick with it.
Yeah. I definitely would encourage expression, especially more than trying to be accepted. I was just had a personal conversation with one of my children and just saying that I hope that you know that you're enough, you know, especially being in a school where it's a different culture and, you know, cultures are different, you know,
right.
Being the only Latino girl in an all black school, you know,
right.
It's different. You know, the things that you know are normal is different from what everyone else knows. But as long as you have the inward conviction and identity, then find what that is and love that, you know, because you can spend so much time trying to appease and trying to be this and that for somebody else.
Wow.
And that's why I feel bad for a lot of different people who want to get a record deal.
Yeah.
They come in sounding one way, then the record execs, they're like, oh, well, we need you to be this. We need you to be that. And their career ends up flopping because the spark that they saw in them is gone now that they've tried to mold them into one thing.
Right. Okay. I got you. So you're talking about having a certain amount of joy and peace in the style of music you put out.
Yeah.
That is more important.
I think so.
Now, I've heard the story, and I hope I don't get it wrong. For those who follow me, you know, you can message me or whatever. But I heard a story about, I believe it was Jimi Hendrix. And I think he had played with the Isley Brothers or something like that. And
I remember hearing about Jimi.
Right. And then they kind of like kicked him to the curb and he got his own thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. And this is no knock on the Isley Brothers because, you know, I mean, what, 50 years of great music.
Yeah.
But Jimmy, evidently, he's like, okay, you don't know who I am. I mean, and I'm saying this because there are times where you can be surrounded by people. It's not that you're being cocky, but it's the thing to whereas you don't understand the gift. And maybe there are times where you just don't fit in that situation.
Yeah, because I think even talking about Jimi Hendrix, when he was, you know, asked not to be a part of the Isley Brothers, he could have decided, man, these are the Isley Brothers.
Right.
We could have let somebody else's fame and mean so much to us to where if they don't validate us, then I can't be good. Or if I don't land this gig, then maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. But I believe he had that inner conviction. And I think I've heard stories even about like Bob Marley being in certain circles and not fitting. And then being able to continue to go and double down on their own sound. And when they double down on their own sound, and amidst all of the rejection, because I think it's one thing to be rejected by your peers or somebody that maybe is on your level, but to make it and get those callbacks or to be in front of an executive or be in front of a celebrity musician and then they don't give you that approval, I think that stuff can be kind of worse because, you know, they're telling you, or just thinking about all the people that were on American Idol, like Tori Kelly.
Right, okay.
Tori Kelly was rejected by Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell told her, you know, you're doing too much. You'll never land a deal or whatever. But look, she's got a movie.
Wow.
She's amazing.
Right. See, that's the stuff I'm talking about. And the reason why, again, I'm doing this podcast, because there are a lot of people, especially in the music industry, do not feel accepted. And, you know, I want to encourage you to do what the good Lord has blessed you to do. Always express your talent and your gift. Don't bury it. Don't be afraid. If you're a jazz musician, express that gift. Rock and roll, classical, whatever you're doing. Express your gift. DeMonte, I want you to kind of encourage the people as far as rejection. And I'm going to let you go because I know you got a show you got to do yourself. So.
Yeah, she just called me just now. I got to call her once we finish. If I could say anything, I would say double down on whatever you feel the strongest urge to do, whatever that sound is, even if it takes you all day, you know, whatever that chord is, even if it takes you all day, even if it's different from you know, what's being done now. Because before, you know, Chuck Berry, who was playing a guitar like that? Before Kanye West, you know, who was doing the things that he's doing? Before Curtis Blow, who was rapping? And he had to step into a different zone that nobody else was doing. Right. So you just might be, you know, the new trendsetter. They may have to name a whole different genre after you.
Okay.
You know, so double down, go for it. And don't let anything stop you. You know, take the rejection, you know, take it as a, you know, how can I put this? Take it on the chin.
Right.
You know, take it on the chin. And if it applies, you know, apply what you learned. If it doesn't, don't let it bother you too long.
Ah, man.
Use it to create.
Well, you know what, son? I appreciate you taking time out. You know, every once in a while, I have to pull on my son's ear and have him come and help me out musically and also just to do a podcast because he's busy with a lot of stuff. He's also a music teacher. He does private. Oh, you know what? You tell him about it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, yeah, I am the CEO. I'll tell him I'm the CEO of Rabbi Music. It's something that I started back when I was in Louisiana. The idea of being able to impact the next generation of minstrels. And so that's what I do. I do private lessons. I do songwriting. If you have a song and all you have are lyrics, I can definitely put music to it, help to bring your vision to life. And what I'm looking to do now is to partner with different schools and just give assistance to those bands that are just starting, because now in LA it's the transition happening with education. Okay. All those old band directors that are legends, yeah, they're either dying or retiring. So you have these new teachers coming in, but these, okay, new teachers, they need help.
Right, okay.
They need help. So I'm looking for schools to partner with, and you know, if I get a couple students from it, that's cool. But I really just want to use the gift that were given to me and just kind of pour back. So okay, that's
now
that's
how can they reach you?
You can reach me at info. My email is info@rabbimusic.com. My Instagram is rabbimusic.com, or no, rabbimusic, not .com, but Instagram is rabbimusic. My Facebook is Demonte Rab. I'm the only Demonte Rab, so that helps. DeMontaRabb. Sometimes I go live when I'm at church and I kind of just post, you know, different musical stuff. And that's pretty much it.
All right.
And well, oh yeah, my YouTube. I do have a YouTube channel where I post videos. That's Demonte Rab or DRAB08.
All right.
At YouTube.
Man, again, son, I appreciate you. And like I said, we're going to probably have a part two of this rejection because I want...
Yeah, we gotta really dive into it.
We're gonna dive more into this because, you know, there are a lot of people that's feeling like outcasts, and so we're gonna keep it going, but we're gonna sign off for today. Blessings to you. You guys be safe, love one another, and treat everyone right. All right? Peace. We're out.
Peace.